Campus XM, Darren Johnson. Hall & Oates, Private Eyes. I always wondered what would happen if Oates, who was the lesser talented, lesser popular performer, got together with Garfunkel from Simon & Garfunkel. Like, what kind of band that would be. Maybe they could throw in the other guy from Wham, George Michael, and the other guy. I forget his name. And they could have, like, a three-way band or something. I think that would do pretty well. I don't know. In America, people kind of hate number two. We never hear about, like, the team that came in second in the NCAA tournament or the Super Bowl or something like that. But it's hard to get up to the point of being second. It's almost better in America to not even make the playoffs, but to have had a halfway decent year. And you could just say, oh, well, I didn't make the playoffs. I guess I'll never know if I would have been number one, rather than actually compete and find out you're number two. And it's weird in that you could have just had a bad game, especially with basketball, which is so random. You know, it seems like every single basketball game comes down to 2 minutes left and they have to, like, call 50 timeouts. And then they have these weird plays that take, like, 7 seconds that they don't use in the regular game, but they use them at the very end. And it comes down to whether some 18-year-old kid can hit a basket from, you know, the perimeter or something. And that's every single basketball game. And about 38% of the time they hit it, and that team's all excited and the other team isn't. And then everyone forgets that number two team. So I'm in a strip mall complex in Albany, New York, and it's a more upscale strip mall. It's not like your typical, like, Dollar Tree strip mall. There's no Dollar Tree in here. I buy my cigars in this plaza. It's a nice plaza. I'm glad they kind of keep the quality going. But I see some cars here that I normally don't see. Like, I see a Saab, and it was like a new-looking Saab. It wasn't like an old, beat-up Saab. I didn't even know Saab still made cars. Or maybe this person, you know, they just keep it in really good shape and keep it clean and everything. It looked like a pretty good car. And then someone just parked right next to me, and I just have an economy car. But someone decided to, it's early in the morning, and almost none of these stores are open except for a Starbucks. And someone parked. I'm a good 100 yards away from that Starbucks. I wanted to pick a quiet space. The sun is rising, and I didn't want the sun to hit me. And I parked a good 100 yards away. But then someone decides, and I'm all by myself, and there's plenty of parking spaces near the Starbucks. Someone decides to park right next to me, then walk across the whole lot and go into the Starbucks. And it's just disconcerting to have, like, it's just a standard SUV. It's a nice car, but not a car that you would park far away for fear of it being dented or something like that. There's no need to have parked this far away. And I think some people just look for, like, a queue or something. So she saw someone sitting in a car and said, okay, I'll park next to that person. But now, because that car is much bigger than mine, it's casting a shadow on my car. So I'm not getting any sun. I wanted a little sun. Anyway, that's my life. I'm going to go to the gym in a bit. So I decided to record before the gym because I'm a little under the weather. And I think I have to regroup myself. I'm not going to run today. I've been running at the gym. And running just takes a lot out of me. So, you know, that's it. I can still enjoy my coffee, too. A lot of times I don't have my coffee finished, and I feel bad going in the gym knowing the coffee will get cold this time of year. In any case, I'm a little tired, a little under the weather. There's a place in here called Mr. Fuji Sushi, Japanese cuisine. And Mr. Fuji was a wrestler in the 1980s. I wonder if it's any relation. He, back in the 80s, the pro wrestling was just starting to catch on at a nationwide level. And Mr. Fuji was a Japanese fellow, and he would cheat, of course, you know, because he had to follow a stereotype. and he would cheat and sometimes win. He would have like some kind of weird dust that he would pull out of his trunks, and he would like blow it into the face of his opponent, and the opponent would get all disconcerted, and then he'd be able to like maybe hit him with his cane or something like that when the referee wasn't looking. You know, he was like the master of deception, Mr. Fuji. So I wonder if the owners of this place even know what that is or what it is about. Who knows? And it's a nice plaza. I get my cigars here, like I mentioned. They're like they have a little back humidor room, and you know, like a right wing owner believes, you know, they have a smoking room too. I never go in that. If my life gets to the point where I'm hanging out in the smoking room, you know, God help me. I was yesterday, I had a unique day off, didn't have to do much except work on my own newspaper publication and maybe sell a few ads for it or something like that. And I think I might have sold one. I worry about that thing. Owning a business is tough. Like, you know, the ads come and go, and you don't know, like, if they're ever going to just stop completely. We had periods in time where they didn't, like, where the ads almost dried up and the paper almost went out of business. And so I think about, like, do I need to get a day job again or something to maybe keep the paper afloat if the ads don't come in? So I'm trying the best I can. And I had a rare, you know, day where I didn't have to drive anywhere. And I went and looked at office space for the newspaper. I think as I've doubled down on the amount of work I've put into this paper, and it's paid dividends, but it's risky too. So I'm looking at office space, and I'd have to pay for that. But where I live, you can get really good office space in upstate New York. That's why I don't know why the Amazon deal kind of fell through, because they wanted to build it in New York City. They could have just come to upstate New York, still been relatively close to New York City, and gotten really affordable rents. So I think that's the next step, because then I can have a room and get cold callers and really get up the ad business. There are some people in town who don't have transportation, or they just want a local job, and there's a dearth of jobs in town. I always wonder if dearth is the right word, but there's a lack of jobs in town. And and maybe I can find a good cold caller. It has to be someone professional, though. Someone to call and get ads, and I'd give that person a percent. So that's the way it would work. I guess if they really sucked, I would just give them a few bucks and say, all right, well, I'll move on to someone else. So, but I spend a large portion of the day on phone calls, and one was with Time Warner Cable, which is now Spectrum Cable. And it takes forever. You know, they keep inching up the cable bill. And it got to the point where it's almost $200. And, you know, they give you things like HBO or Stars or all these channels. And you watch them a little bit, but then they start charging for them. And they're not really worth it. And you say, well, and they give you a phone. And the only people who call on the phone are spam callers, like Sienna, Sienna polling. They want to get, you know, they screwed up so badly on the presidential election of 2016, predicting Hillary Clinton would win. But they're calling people thinking, you know, that method still works. Anyone who has any secret voter is not going to answer the phone. And then there's, they list us in a phone book, like this local phone book, and no one uses the local phone book except one woman who lives across the street from us. And every now and then she'll give us a call if she needs, like her snowplow guy couldn't make it and she wanted to know who our snowplow guy was. And that's it. That's the whole, you know, phone. So we're paying for a phone, and then they charge you for, I had my own modem, but it stopped working, and they said, oh, you have to use our modem. And then that's another $10 a month. Then if you want DVRing, that's more money. And, you know, all these other things. So I went on the phone with them, threatened to quit. And eventually I get someone. And the thing that's weird is I have to make, like, several phone calls. And each phone bank that they had was in a different region. And one was in Syracuse. And those were the people I had to negotiate with to get the better deal. And then there was another one
in Buffalo, and he had to, because when they switched the service, then they had to talk to someone to get the TV going again, because they had to switch the service. They technically were switching it from Time Warner Cable to Spectrum, even though it's the same company. And then I had to get on the phone with someone who does the technical end to get the internet working again after I did the switch. But I talked to these call desk people, and eventually, you know, like when I say, oh, it's, when it was pretty obvious that I was going to quit, you know, going to cancel the service. And I really didn't want to cancel the service. I like the advantages of cable. They revealed to me that they do have this secret plan that they don't advertise. It's called Spectrum Choice. And it's only like $110 or something. And you get internet, you get all the broadcast channels, and there's a good number of broadcast channels, you know, ABC, NBC, MeTV, CBS, Fox. And then there were a bunch of like other ones that were kind of more obscure, you know, like New York One. And then there's like these channels that show like older sitcoms, like I Love Lucy. And actually I recorded one of the I Love Lucy's, can't wait to watch it. Orson Welles goes on I Love Lucy, and I love Orson Welles, and I love Lucy. So, you know, I can't wait to see that. I don't remember it. I used to watch it in my youth, and I took a whole course on Orson Welles. I love Orson Welles, so can't wait to see that episode. DVR it if you get a chance. But you get a bunch of those broadcast channels. Then they let you pick 10 commercial cable channels. So we watch, as you know, A&E a lot, where they have these shows about miserable people's lives, like 600 Pound Life. And I've done like 2.5 episodes on 600 Pound Life. So I won't go into that. Just check my older episodes if you haven't heard them. There was a really dark one on recently that I commented on. Or Hoarders was on last night. We saw Hoarders. And this woman had a house that was so bad. It was just rotting from the inside out. And she just left like, you know, dog feces from like 9 years worth of dogs. And it was just a total pigsty. And, you know, those type shows, Little People, and, you know, and they put little people in different situations. Now we have a little person riding a tractor, you know, that type of thing. Shows about, like, popping pimples, you know, like this doctor that gets people's cysts and extracts them on the air. And it's really disgusting, but you can't not watch it. So, yeah, that channel, AMC, which has Walking Dead and Better Call Saul. And I still stick with Walking Dead, even though a lot of people have abandoned it. It's not a great show, but I feel like, all right, at least I know the characters, and I just don't have to watch it as closely anymore. And I got ESPN because they put the occasional thing I want to watch on it. I like boxing and things like that. You know, the family likes Hallmark Channel and some of these other ones, Freeform. And so you get to pick 10. And the thing is, I realized that that's all the number of channels you really need are like the broadcast channels and the 10 channels. And it's more than enough. And then because you get this package, you can get the Spectrum app on Roku and you can watch it on Roku too. We decided to pay the extra $10 and get keep the DVR that we had originally because we like fast-forwarding TV. And so we'll still have that aspect, the DVR aspect. That's kind of worth its weight in gold is the DVR. So that's my cable lineup. So I was on the phone all day with these people, and they're kind of miserable. I'd get hung up on for no reason. I wasn't even getting angry or anything. But I'd get hung up on because they'd say, oh, let us transfer you to this department or that department. When you mention you're downgrading, they don't really want to deal with you. So they say, oh, we'll send you to some department. Then before you know it, you're waiting on hold, and then just it hangs up on you. So it's they're kind of miserable, and no one's in charge of anything. Like, no one can kind of just make a call and say, oh, okay, I'll, you know, bend the rules and give you this particular channel. Like, I wanted New York One. But because I live 150 miles away from New York City, give or take, they said, oh, no, you get the Albany version of Spectrum News. You don't get the New York One version. But I was getting New York One before, And I largely, you know, my newspaper exists in New York City, so I like to watch New York One. And they do a good job on New York One. But then I realized that New York One is a part of it if you watch it on the Roku app. So I could still watch my New York One. So it's a, but just to get an answer on if I can get New York One or not, was like, it was a fiasco. I got traded back and forth. Eventually, they let you do like an online chat for certain issues. You can't do anything financially via online chat, but at least with the online chat, you can kind of do other things. But I'd say this whole fiasco took up, I don't know, 5 hours of people's time, and you have all these workers earning probably like $20, $30 an hour, and it took up their time, and, you know, there has to be an easier way. I think they have to empower their employees a little bit more. Maybe they feel that the employees will just steal if they don't. Well, anyway, one show that I do kind of watch, and it's a guilty pleasure show, and it gets a bad rap, but I don't think it's that bad. If you're home during the day, now that I am, you know, that I have time free, and maybe one, now that I have an office, I won't watch it as much, but I do DVR it, is Dr. Phil. My daughter and I like the show for some reason, and it's not as bad as other daytime fare, like Jerry Springer or Maury Povich. Those shows, they'll bring out like bastard children and do DNA tests to prove like if some guy's a father or not, or they'll have strippers fighting over a guy and they'll take off their shoes and then they'll blur out their breasts when their tops accidentally, quote unquote, fall off. You know, those type shows. Dr. Phil is a little bit above that. It's a lot above that. Although he does have episodes that might be borderline exploitative. It makes me, you know, all right, what's his level of expertise and is this helpful? And I think a lot of the shows are helpful. A lot of the Dr. Phil type programs are, they do help the people that go on them. I think people phone in and they write in via email and they like, you know, beg to get on the show because they have some issue that won't be solved. And mental health in this country is, it's weird. You either have to be totally off your rocker and then they'll commit you, or you have to be rich. And otherwise, you have like an HMO in this country. And maybe you can get, like, you can go to a therapist, but because the HMOs are trying to save money, most of them aren't really, they're definitely not psychologists and, or psychiatrists, and they're rarely psychologists. They're usually therapists. They have a master's degree, and they might even have a master's degree in social work. So they're not really much higher in training than, like, a parish priest as far as ability to solve your problems goes. So if I were going to rank the types of help you can get, I would rank parish priest and then HMO, you know, master's degree. Someone puts a shingle out and calls himself a therapist, and that's what you get. And then you have to co-pay like $50 too, so it's not like you want to do it. You're also paying $50 for harebrained advice. And then I would say Dr. Phil is the next level. And he's above that. But he might not be quite as good as going to an actual trained, like from a decent college, someone who has good experience, psychologist or psychiatrist especially. He's not to that level. I guess he went to some middling or lower ranked school to get his psychology degree a million years ago. He was in practice. Oprah found him, and then he ended up with his own TV show, and he has a lot of homespun advice, but he also has a lot of resources that I think are helpful. And I would almost think that this style of therapy could be helpful for a lot of people if it were somehow branded, like if there were a way to do it this way, as opposed to, all right, I signed up with a therapist, I'm going to go every Tuesday, you know, or every Monday and Wednesday or something, some schedule, for the next year, 2 years, whatever. Some people go for many years, and I don't know how helpful that is, or if you just become dependent on the person. With Dr. Phil, people write in, then he has help, he has researchers, and he has other psychological people on staff to kind of, you know, gauge it. And then they'll do a home visit, and they'll interview friends and relatives, and they'll do some research, and he'll then, when it gets to the point where it's to Dr. Phil, he will have a, he'll already kind of have a feel for what's wrong with this particular person. So then he can delve into it in his own way. And sometimes he delves into it, you know, in a very boring way with like little slides saying what's wrong with them. And other times he'll let them just speak. And sometimes the issue isn't solved in an hour. You could tell the person might need some deeper psychological help. And then sometimes he'll refer them to one of the, like they'll have like these sponsors that have a ranch out in Texas or something. And they'll send them out to this ranch where they get more psychological help. They rarely do follow-up, though, where you say, okay, here's this person we sent to the ranch, and now she's totally good. No, they never do that, but it seems like at least he has something in place. And I would almost think this style of psychology, would be better than just stretching out talking to some mediocre person over many, many months. Just like to have this blitzkrieg type solution to your problem. It's like, okay, you have a problem, and we will, we're going to first pre-interview you, go to your house, see what's going on, find out the truth. Because the other thing is a lot of people lie to doctors. And when they are in the psychologist chair, they might lie for several weeks or months until like some kind of truth comes out. So here they can kind of dig into what the facts are, and he can do some homework before he goes in so he doesn't talk out of his ass. He's talking, you know, from a point of wisdom. And so his background researchers might have even more training than he does. And then he'll bring on various other experts onto the show if need be. But he does, his show's kind of a hodgepodge. Sometimes he'll do a show, and I delete these as soon as I see him, that's more like a cold case, where I think he does these as fillers when he doesn't have a guest, or if the guest drops out, or if the guest didn't do as well as expected, and he'll try to solve some cold case, like a Dateline NBC. Those shows are horrible. Every now and then he'll do something where you could tell it's like a brand deal, where he's bringing someone on, and his wife has like a makeup line or something. Every now and then he'll do a show. He had a mentalist on the other day, and you could tell, you know, like solving people's, you know, guessing like secrets about them or something, and they'd be shocked. And he had one of those people on, and I'm sure that mentalist is going to have his own show, and maybe Dr. Phil will somehow secretly back it and get 10% or something. So he'll have some shows that are obviously money grabs, but then he'll mix in some shows that are more serious. And this goes back to the corruption podcast I did that was kind of popular a few episodes ago, where like some people, I think sometimes your conscience can get in the way of your development. You see all these companies that do really well, like the DraftKings and the Uber and YouTube, and they didn't really have a conscience. They just broke the law, and eventually they got the law changed to support them. So YouTube can put up weird videos and they don't get sued, and you know, Uber can just break into taxi cab markets, and DraftKings is now a legitimate gambling site. You know, they just break the law and then they apologize later. He kind of, Dr. Phil has a side of him that's a huckster, and then he has a side that actually seems to do some good. The episodes that are the best are when he gets either, usually he'll get like a wanton teen, usually a girl, who is rebelling against her family, and she's just off the wall. And sometimes he actually does come up with a solution, and he gets them back together again. Usually the family is either too rigid or too lax, and then the girl gets into, like, sex, and drugs and all that type of stuff and bad behavior. And then they just won't listen to any advice. And he will kind of wear the people down. He has a very good way about him to make people who are on the defensive let down their guard. So he will he'll do that. And those are some of the better episodes where he'll have one of those type guests, a female. And I'm sure he probably has them on because a lot of times they're somewhat attractive. So people flipping the channels might stop on that channel because the person looks interesting. So those are some of the better ones. And then the other day he had on, and then he'll have on these type people, people that are kind of off the wall. And he doesn't usually really solve their problems. They had a woman on the other day who she believed she was communicating with Jeffrey Dean Morgan. He is the character who plays Negan on The Walking Dead. And he's had other character actor roles. And she believed she was contacting him through Facebook. And really, you know, Dr. Phil breaks it down. He doesn't reveal it right away. But he reveals it like about halfway into the show. It's like, yeah, we did an IP trace on this person. They're really Nigerian scammers, and they're just scamming her. And she was giving money to Jeffrey Dean Morgan and committing bank fraud and such. And she didn't, you know, she thought that Jeffrey Dean Morgan needed the money because he was just a character actor and he didn't make a lot of money. So she was sending him thousands of dollars and getting into trouble with the banks, and, you know, who knows if she'll be arrested. I guess she could just claim insanity. And she kept changing her accent. She would, like, speak in different accents. And she just had weird mannerisms whenever confronted. And she allegedly was on pace to get a master's degree in therapy. I guess she was just a few credits away. So she was going to be a therapist herself. Which just shows the level of therapist you get, I guess, when you have an HMO, a low-level therapist. And but she was a little bit off the wall. And then her family has to come in and confront her. And that's always awkward, too, when the family has to say, hey, you know, you're off the rails here. What's going on? That's not Jeffrey Dean Morgan. You know it's not Jeffrey Dean Morgan. And then Dr. Phil showed a montage of a bunch of other people he's had on the show who thought they were in love with celebrities. One believed that Tyler Perry was going to marry her and that she was communicating with Tyler Perry. And, you know, there were like other people that believed that some celebrity was going to save them. And ultimately, if people have these problems, they're just not self-realized enough, or they could just be psychologically damaged, but they or lonely or whatever. This woman seemed really lonely. But, you know, that's the other type of person I see on this type show. Another type I like on Dr. Phil is the schlub husband who has a wife who's doing something, either drugs or sleeping around. There was one guy who was he was married to a woman who claimed she was a professional hugger, and she had a website where she would hug people. But then, you know, upon peeling back the layers, Dr. Phil, said, hey, why did this one guy pay you $5,000 to go to, you know, San Francisco to, you know, spend the weekend with him? And, you know, for hugging, you know, that's what he was doing. And eventually, you know, you could see that she just wasn't just hugging other people. But the schlub husband is another trope I kind of like on Dr. Phil. So my three favorite tropes are the people that are delusional and they think like there's a celebrity that likes them or something like that. The recalcitrant teen woman, girl, who might need a little bit of reform and she does get it, or they might send her off to Happy Ranch or something at the end of it. Or the schlub husband who has a wife, or sometimes it's the wife is more of a plain Jane and the husband is the player. That sometimes happens. But those ones are good, you know. And I think the ultimate problem is, and I see this on other shows as well, people, they're willing to they don't understand it, but they're willing to tolerate like a serial cheater or someone who's prostituting on the side or something and just pretend it's not happening if the person is someone who looks wise they normally wouldn't be with if that person were normal. So they're trying to get like a free upgrade is what they're doing. So they're getting the 120-pound tall blonde, but, and they're, you know, 250 pounds and balding and, you know, their shirt is hanging out and they're schlubby looking. They're getting someone who looks a lot better than they normally would get. You know, Andy works at Jiffy Lube as a manager or the Sprint store or something like that. And that's his life. But he has a girlfriend who looks like someone maybe like a good-looking doctor would date or an athlete or someone. He gets that, but she's a crackhead, you know, or something like that. So these are people looking for the free upgrade. And that always causes like misery in people's lives because the person who is the better-looking one, they don't respect that person. They're just with that person because it provides some stability. And they're out of their own mind because they're on some kind of addiction, whether it's drugs or sex or gambling or whatever. And the schlub isn't really finding someone who's truly committed, you know, and discovering. They're being vain. It's like someone who would buy a Saab as opposed to a Ford Focus, you know, or something like that. It's like the person wants to put on some kind of presentation, but they're giving themselves a whole mountain of nightmares just to say that, hey, my spouse is way better looking than me. That's, I don't know. It's vanity on a lot of levels. And I guess there's a lot of different types of vanity and narcissism, etc. So that's it. I have to go into the gym. I'm starting to feel a little better. You know, I think just taking a breather and drinking some coffee and being in an empty strip mall before it opens and all the consumers come in helped my breathing, etc., etc., etc. So let me get out of corporate America and go to a corporate gym and run around on a treadmill for a little bit or something. I'll talk to you later. This is Drive Time Podcast Campus XM. Find my book on profmule.com. You won't be disappointed. I guarantee it. Profmule.com. And also go to Campus XM. Like it on iTunes and give it a rating if you can. Okay. Talk to you later. Bye.